as thousands came into New York City through Port Authority, the Port Authority bus terminal, one man came with a hate-filled heart and an evil purpose.
The U.S. levels multiple charges against a Bangladeshi man accused of setting off a bomb Monday in New York City. This is Wednesday, December 13th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, the U.S. Secretary of State says the U.S. wants to open talks with North Korea when conditions are met. And same-sex marriage is given the royal seal of approval in Australia. All on today's VOA Asia. The man who set off a crude bomb in the New York City subway system Monday has been charged with five terror-related counts, including providing material support to a terrorist organization and using weapons of mass destruction. Jun Kim is the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York.
As alleged in the complaint we filed today, that man was Akaed Ullah. Yesterday, Ullah stood in the tunnels under the Port Authority, plotting to kill. Today, he stands charged with federal crimes of terrorism. The complaint filed this morning charges Ullah with five counts of federal crimes. First, providing material support to a terrorist organization, that being ISIS. Second, using and attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction, that being an improvised explosive device, or an IED. Third, bombing a place of public use. Fourth, destruction of property by means of an explosive. And fifth, use of a destructive device during and in furtherance of a crime of violence. As the complaint alleges, Ullah went to the Port Authority yesterday morning with a purpose. He had strapped to his body an IED, a pipe bomb, that he had made using a metal pipe filled with metal screws held together under his jacket with wires and zip ties. As alleged, the location and timing of his planned attack was no accident, and his motivation was no mystery.
Kim spoke further about the motivation.
As alleged, he also admitted that he had been inspired by ISIS to carry out his attack, saying that he had been radicalized online through ISIS propaganda starting as far back as 2014. Although the investigation remains very much active and ongoing, court-authorized searches have already uncovered further evidence of Ullah's allegedly destructive crimes and his terrorist intent. A search yesterday of his apartment in Brooklyn revealed metal pipes, pieces of wires, and metal screws consistent with the bomb materials recovered at the scene. Officers also found a passport there in Ullah's name with handwriting that included one particularly chilling note. And I quote, "O America, die in your rage," close quote.
Ullah, a Bangladeshi immigrant and former taxi driver, was injured during the explosion and taken to a hospital in serious condition with burns on his hands and his torso. Three other people suffered headaches and ringing in their ears. Ullah immigrated to the United States in 2011. Meanwhile, authorities in Bangladesh said they had located Ullah's wife and baby in Dhaka and were questioning the wife. President Donald Trump said Monday's attack shows the need for Congress to pass immigration reforms to protect the American people.
There have now been two terrorist attacks in New York City in recent weeks carried out by foreign nationals here on green cards. The first attacker came through the visa lottery and the second through chain migration. We're going to end both of them. The lottery system and chain migration. We're going to end them fast. Congress must get involved immediately, and they are involved immediately, and I can tell you we have tremendous support. They will be ended.
Bangladesh's embassy in Washington issued a statement condemning Monday's attack. We invite you to read more on this top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. South Korea's president says THAAD will not be invasive of China's security. Diphtheria kills 9 in Bangladesh Rohingya camps. The U.S. and South Korea are mulling over drills during the Pyeongchang Olympics. A prominent Australian opposition lawmaker quits over claims of Chinese links. A U.S. soldier who deserted to North Korea in 1965 has died at the age of 77. And Dennis Rodman says U.S. President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un are pretty much the same. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and at the VOAnews.com website. We continue now with VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson expressed confidence Tuesday that Washington is doing all it can to force North Korea to negotiate its nuclear disarmament. And he added that if diplomacy and sanctions fail and the U.S. military is forced to take preemptive action, it will have been a personal failure. Tillerson told a meeting of his staff, "You know, we can only do our part in this, and the regime in Pyongyang is going to have to come to some decision about its future." The United States has mobilized the world community to impose stringent economic and diplomatic sanctions on Kim Jong-un's regime to halt its nuclear drive. But Pyongyang has continued to test ever more powerful ballistic missiles and boast it can now target the U.S. mainland with its nuclear arsenal. Washington has pledged to deliver a denuclearized Korean peninsula, but the strategy does hinge on China maintaining pressure and Kim agreeing to talk. Later in the day, in a speech at a Washington think tank, Tillerson said the United States was ready, willing, and able to talk with Pyongyang, but only if it abandons its missile and nuclear programs.
Time is marching on, and with each additional test, North Korea does demonstrate the advancement of its program. The most recent intercontinental ballistic missile test, I think, demonstrates they certainly have capability to continue to advance their program, and we would expect they're doing the same on other elements of an integrated nuclear weapons system. So we need the DPRK to come to the table for talks. We're ready to talk anytime they'd like to talk. But they have to come to the table, and they have to come to the table with a view that they do want to make a different choice.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in is scheduled to travel to China Wednesday for a 4-day state visit that will include a one-on-one with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping Thursday amid North Korean tensions and strains in bilateral relations. In an interview with Chinese television, Mr. Moon said his top priority is recovering mutual trust. China was incensed when South Korea, alarmed at the growing nuclear threat from the North, allowed deployment of a U.S.-made anti-missile system called THAAD, Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, a system Beijing viewed as a threat to its own national security. Mr. Moon said his government will be extremely careful that that is not seen as invasive of Chinese security. He's also expressed a desire to work on building a united front against Pyongyang's nuclear threats. James Kim is a research fellow at the Asian Institute for Policy Studies. He told VOA's Victor Beatty the bilateral relationship has recently been marked by mutual distrust until late October, when both sides sought to improve ties.
But it's still taking more work. I think the Chinese have made additional demands on South Korean government to address the missile defense issue. And so on the eve of his visit to Beijing, I think President Moon saw the need to focus on doing more to improve that relationship and to gain China's trust and vice versa.
Well, that missile system is, of course, called THAAD. It's a U.S.-based system. He said South Korea will be extremely careful from here on out that THAAD is not invasive of China's security. South Korea has received promises from the U.S. multiple times regarding this. What does he mean?
Both South Korea and United States have been clear about what the system is here to do, and that is to deter the North Korean threat against South Korea and the U.S. citizens in South Korea, and that this is not a deterrent to be used against China. but China has consistently pointed to this defense system as a potential threat against their deterrent capability and strategic position in the region. So on both sides, it's not a question about the statements that they have made, but it's about the intent, and China is questioning South Korea's intent as well as the United States' intent, and the U.S. and South Korea is trying to clarify to China what their true intent is. Essentially, it's a reiteration of the messaging, but it's about gaining trust on both ends, both sides, about what this capability is here to do.
Mr. Moon said if South Korea and China stand on the same side, make efforts together to bring North Korea to the negotiating table, are both on the same page vis-a-vis the strategy to get North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons?
I think South Korean government has been clear that they would like to get North Korea to the bargaining table and to engage them in a dialogue, but North Korea has not been cooperative in that regard. China has maintained a similar kind of position. But in order to get North Korea to the bargaining table, I believe there's been some difference in opinion about how to make that happen. South Korean government has largely cooperated with the United States in following the maximum pressure and engagement approach, while the Chinese government has consistently asked for more concessions from both the United States and South Korea to get the North Koreans to engage.
James Kim said success for South Korea would be getting the relationship with China to go beyond that and gaining a pledge from Beijing to get North Korea to the negotiating table. Mr. Moon, who will be accompanied by a large delegation of business leaders, hopes to kickstart free trade negotiations with China. Happening now in Asia, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson expressed confidence Tuesday that Washington is doing all it can to force North Korea to negotiate its nuclear disarmament. Three renowned international judges say North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and other officials should be prosecuted for crimes against humanity committed in the authoritarian nation's camps for political prisoners. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA News. Queen Elizabeth's representative in Australia has officially signed same-sex marriage into law, following a landmark vote in the federal parliament. The first weddings can take place in a month's time. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
The passing of the historic same-sex marriage bill Thursday prompted songs and celebrations in the Australian parliament. The new law brings to an end more than a decade of bitter debate on the issue. MPs voted to change the Marriage Act and bring to an end a ban on gay and lesbian couples marrying. The landmark measure became official when Governor-General Peter Cosgrove, who represents Australia's head of state, Britain's Queen Elizabeth, signed it into law. Gay couples will be allowed to marry in a month's time because in Australia, authorities must be given 4 weeks' notice before any wedding takes place. Australia's centre-right Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says it's a momentous occasion.
What a day! What a day for love, for equality, for respect! Australia has done it! Every Australian had their say and they said it's fair, get on with it. And the Parliament has got on with it and we have voted today for equality, for love. It's time for more marriages.
The bill to amend the Marriage Act was first introduced into Parliament last month, immediately following a national poll that showed about 62% of Australians supported change. Critics said that a law to legalise gay marriage would expose children to radical views on homosexuality in the classroom. The bill includes exemptions for religious celebrants who can refuse to marry same-sex couples on the basis of their faith. Couples who've married overseas in countries such as Canada and Britain will automatically have their marriages recognised in Australia. The famous sails of the Sydney Opera House have been illuminated in pink and rainbows to celebrate the historic vote. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This news alert from VOA Asia, curbing North Korea's nuclear ambitions will top South Korean President Moon Jae-in's agenda in Beijing during a visit this week aimed at breaking the ice after a furious row over Seoul's deployment of a U.S. anti-missile system. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. We continue now. Following the dissolution of Cambodia's only credible opposition party, the country's Prime Minister Hun Sen held a ceremony at Angkor Wat to pray for happiness and peace. Observers say Hun Sen is seeking to consolidate his legacy with divine symbolism intended to elevate his status beyond mere politician. David Boyle has this report from Siem Reap, Cambodia.
5,000 monks gather in front of Angkor Wat to pray for peace and happiness. They were joined Sunday by actors, scouts, the National Ballet, dignitaries and politicians for a ceremony rich in regal symbolism. The extravaganza was also rich with political symbolism for Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen, who has just seen his main political rival, the Cambodia National Rescue Party, dissolved ahead of next year's elections. Opposition leader Khun Sokar is in jail on highly questionable treason charges. Senior party members have been banned from politics and CNRP signs have been ripped down across the country. With potential electoral threats neutralised, observers believe Hun Sen is now turning his attention to his legacy and lineage, noting the increasing prominence of his youngest son and parliamentarian Hun Mini.
That change will take place. That generation shift to the next leadership that's actually born after the war days. That's going to be very, very interesting to see. It will take place, I think, my prediction is actually it will take place within the next 5 years.
In the meantime, Hun Sen's regime is building its own great temple in Phnom Penh. These workers are pouring concrete into a colossal monument, immortalising Hun Sen's so-called win-win strategy. Constructed at an undisclosed cost by wealthy ruling party Senator Lee Yong Pat, the monument will feature bas reliefs, much like those on the walls of Angkor. But these sculptings will tell a much more contemporary story, that of Hun Sen's triumph over the Khmer Rouge and his destruction of all subsequent political opponents. David Boyle for VOA News in Siem Reap.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said Tuesday the United States was prepared to talk to North Korea whenever it is ready, but Pyongyang must be willing to make choices to change course on its nuclear and missile programs. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We continue now. Treating spinal cord injuries is one of the dreams of modern science, and one Israeli research group may be on the right path. VOA's Kevin Enix reports by using human stem cells, they've repaired the spinal cords of mice, allowing the paraplegic rodents to walk again.
The results are dramatic. This is a mouse with a severed spinal cord 3 days after a stem cell construct was inserted into the damaged area. And this is the same mouse, about 6 weeks after surgery.
In this project, we managed to induce spinal cord regeneration following complete injury to the spinal cord. And this was to the extent where the animal that were totally paralyzed started to walk again and also regained sensory perception. And this was really amazing to see the animal starting to walk after 2-3 weeks.
The process is deceptively simple. Take human stem cells, put them on this biodegradable scaffold, and place them over the injury site. In this case, nerve cells grew around the injury, like a detour that allowed nerve signals to find a different path.
We know that spinal cord cannot recover by itself. So what we try to do is to take stem cells. Actually, we took it from human. We did some modification and differentiation and transplant it with some biomaterial, some polymer, that can be put inside the spinal cord.
About 17,000 people in the United States suffer spinal cord injuries every year. Despite rehabilitation and other kinds of nerve transplants, there has not been one case yet of a complete recovery. But now there is at least hope.
Of course, the hope is that we will be able to get similar results in humans, meaning that they will be able to see regeneration and will be able to see some behavioral improvement. But of course, this is these are very early studies, and we still don't know how it will work in humans.
Only about 40% of the mice that received the stem cell transplants recovered, and the transplants needed to be done fairly quickly after injury. But researchers hope these kinds of stem cell transplants will soon be a part of every hospital's emergency room procedures. Kevin Enochs, VOA News.
Staying on the trend of animal treatment, scientists around the world are increasingly using satellite technology to study life on Earth. Small and inexpensive transponders attached to animals track their movement and interaction with humans, helping the scientists and activists protect endangered species. An international organization called Oceana, dedicated to the protection and restoration of the world's oceans, teamed up with shark researchers recently to study the fishing industry's impact on one of the deep ocean's shark species. While the scientists track the sharks, VOA's George Putich tracks the scientists' progress.
Every day, thousands of commercial fishing vessels crisscross the world's oceans looking for fish. The movements of more than 60,000 of those ships are tracked on a publicly available internet-based map called Global Fishing Watch. Set up by Oceana with SkyTruth and Google, it uses data from several private satellite companies.
It can be used to monitor marine protected areas to make sure that vessels are not fishing where they're not supposed to be. It can be used by governments that lack the resources or the capacity to adequately monitor their waters, to actually monitor their waters in a more cost-effective way.
Along with the targeted species, fishermen's nets and hooks snag bycatch, unwanted fish and other sea creatures, including sharks, perhaps as many as 273 million a year. Most of those are blue sharks, and because of their low commercial value, their bodies are usually discarded with no record of ever being caught. Bycatch is one of the greatest threats facing shark populations today. In June 2016, shark researchers from University of Miami and the organization Beneath the Waves tagged 10 blue sharks off the U.S. East Coast. Oceana and its partners integrated collected data with Global Fishing Watch, providing for the first time the map of interaction between sharks and fishing vessels.
So that's why these technologies, we could help estimate the actual amount of bycatch by understanding when these sharks are in jeopardy of being caught by fishing vessels, when they're in close proximity. We could use that to estimate the actual levels of bycatch and help understand the risks to these species.
Oceana hopes that integrating data from tagged animals, not only sharks, but whales, turtles, and other endangered species, will help authorities design conservation measures, such as restricted fishing or hotspot closures. The interactive fishing map can be found at globalfishingwatch.org. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. You can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, and take VOA Asia with you. Find us at voanews.com, and let's hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook and our email at voaasia@voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. Our thanks to Director Tracy Carter, our engineer Aiden Utku, our managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, David Byrd, and Skylar Ogden. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day, and our thanks to people listening around the world. In Myanmar, Facebook, VOA Burmese, the voice of Chang Rung, Star Radio FM 88.3 at Chang Rung Christian University in Tainan, Taiwan, and Falcon Radio at Adamson University in the Philippines. Have yourself a wonderful day. Try to make it so.